How many of you have ever had a... Maybe a better way to ask it is, how many of you have never not had a nightmare? Anybody not had any nightmares? Man, you guys are blessed if that's true. I've had some real doozies in my day. You know that whole deal about if you fall off a cliff, you don't hit the bottom? Uh-huh. Yes, you do. It makes an awful sound, too, let me tell you. Yeah, but the worst nightmare I ever had... You'll get a picture of how old I am here in just a second. I was still at home at my parents' house, and I was sick. You know how the nightmares when you're sick are always worse? Yeah. So I was sick. I was laying in bed, and I was dreaming that I was sleeping. Okay, that's cool. I'm good with that. But I dreamt that I woke up, and I pulled back the covers, and I got out of bed, and I went across to the window. I was on the second floor, and my aunt and uncle lived right next door. And I looked down into toward their house, and there in their living room window, scariest thing I ever saw. I was so petrified. Danny Kaye. Yeah, see, all the young people are going, who's that? Who's that? Yeah, all the rest of you know. Oh, yeah, you know who I'm. But it wasn't just Danny Kaye, man. He had, like, fried eggs for eyes. And he was looking up at me with this evil look on his face. And it's like, I'm going to die today. Scared me to death. Yeah. Well, the disciples had a nightmare, but it wasn't while they were asleep. It was while they were awake. Turn with me to John chapter 13. Some of their worst things they could imagine were coming true. John chapter 13. Take a look at it with me. John chapter 13. Jesus is with the disciples in the upper room. They are about to partake of the communion. What we call communion today, when Jesus first instituted it, they were going there for Passover. And in John chapter 13, Jesus started saying things that, man, they were hard to understand. They just difficult things. Take a look at verse 7. John chapter 13, verse 7, and Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. What? What does that mean? You know, I'm sure Peter was sitting there thinking, I don't get it. You're right, I don't understand. I don't even know what you're saying, let alone understand what you're doing. Because at that moment, Jesus was doing what? Washing his feet, right? He was washing his feet. And that was so incongruous. How does the master wash the disciples' feet? How does that happen? I don't get it. Peter just didn't understand. And Jesus was saying, you don't understand now, but you will. Okay. That's a little confusing. Verse 10, Jesus speaks again, and he says, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. Okay. And you are clean, but not all of you. What? Not all of us. How does that work? What does that mean? You know, he was saying things that were just, we understand today, right? We're quite clear. He was talking about Judas. Very easy for us to understand, very difficult for the disciples. Because they didn't know Judas was a traitor at this point, right? Very difficult for them to understand. Verse 27. Take a look at verse 27. Now, after the piece of bread, Satan entered him, Judas. Then Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. Huh? What does that mean? Again, the disciples are confused. We don't understand this. We don't know what's going on. Very difficult night for them. They just weren't catching on. And then in verse 36, Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward." Ah, riddles, riddles all night long. Very difficult for them to understand. A difficult night all around, because normally their nights with Jesus at these kinds of feasts were wonderful events. How could you be with anybody better than Jesus when it came to feasts that pointed to him? That would be so awesome. But tonight, even Jesus was troubled. And you know how it is when there's difficulties, when you're having some troubles. It's never on just one level. You know what I mean? And so here they couldn't understand what he was saying. He himself was troubled. The disciples were constantly bickering, who's the greatest? And then the whole, well, there's the basin, the towels, the water, but no servant. Well, I'm not going to serve you, sir. Well, I'm not serving you, sir. And so there's all this level of trouble going on as well. And then take a look at some of the things that happened then. Verse 18, look at what Jesus says. Verse 18, "I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me." Wait, what? One of us is going to lift up his heel against you, Jesus? How can that be? Now we think we understand, but what we think we understand, we don't want to understand. This is not good news. This is not what we want to hear. This is not the way these things should play out. You're about to be coronated. This should be a great day. This is coming to the culmination. But Jesus saw a different culmination, didn't he? Something else was about to happen that they had no clue about. No idea. Verse 21. When Jesus had said these things, he was what? Troubled. Jesus troubled. There was something that was so unusual, it was worth mentioning in the scriptures. Think about that. All the things that Jesus had been through in his life, but he was so troubled now that the scriptures make a point of mentioning it. Whew. He was troubled and testified and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Can you imagine what kind of a lump that would put in your heart? Because they'd seen things that Jesus had said, and he hadn't missed a beat yet. What's the likelihood of this one being wrong? Not too much. But how could any of us betray Jesus? And that's when they made that real human error. They started going like this. Huh? You know? We started looking around. Who is it? Obviously, it's not me, so who is it? Right? These are the things we do. Wow. So they already didn't trust each other or, you know, want to be below someone else. Now one of them is going to betray him. Verse 30. Verse 30. Having received the piece of bread, he, meaning Judas, then went out immediately. And that next sentence says so much with so few words. And it was night. Wow. What a tough night that would have been. What a tough night. From our perspective, it's really difficult to put ourselves in their shoes. But can you imagine sitting there in the dim light of those little candles and thinking about all that was going on, all that was wrong, all that was messed up, and I should have been the one to serve, but Jesus gets up to wash feet. Add to all of the night's trouble your own guilty feelings. How would you have felt? And then in Luke 22, verse 15, it says, then he said to them, Jesus speaking, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Jesus? Suffer? I just can't imagine all of this. Too much for your mind to take in. How do you deal with that much bad news, that much horrible things? God, wake me up, please. I can't take any more of this nightmare. Wake me up. Then verse 38, speaking to Peter again, Jesus answered him, will you lay down your life for me? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times. Wait. How can that happen? No way. Peter's saying, for sure, I will die with you, Lord. How could I possibly deny you? I will die for you. So into the mix of all of this, Jesus is beginning to understand the weight of the sin of the world. Your sin, my sin. Jesus is beginning to understand where he's heading in just a few hours. How does he react to the trouble that's going on? How does he deal with the disciples in their troubling night? You've heard stories about little kids. Well, my dad could hit a baseball from here to the outfield. Oh, yeah? Well, my dad could hit it over the wall in left field. Well, my dad could hit it over center field. You know, right? We tend to want to, you know, show how much bigger and badder our stuff is. How much bigger and badder could life have been than what Jesus was about to go through? Did he take the time to say, you guys have no problems at all compared to what I'm about to deal with. Quit your whining. Is that what he did? No, instead his heart went out to them. His heart was knit with their hearts. His love, his mind was focused on them. Not on his own trouble, not on what he had to deal with. His whole being was here to focus, to help them, to serve others, to be a blessing, even in the midst of his own troubles. And so, right after he tells Peter that he will deny him, remember, chapter and verse was not in the original. Look at what comes very next thing. The very next thing. Chapter 14 now. Already you're thinking with me. Chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Wow. Think about Jesus saying that to you. How comforting it was when I'm in my bedroom screaming bloody murder because Danny Kaye is going to come kill me. To have the footsteps of my mom coming up the stairs and have her come in the room. How comforting that was. How much more to have Jesus speak words of comfort into the trouble those disciples were going through, huh? How beautiful that must have been. Let not your heart be troubled. Oh, what a worried people we are. Oh, how are we going to do this? What are we going to do about that? Oh! Let not your heart be troubled. You see, the disciples had been brought up to believe in God. He was the one they prayed to all the time. He was the one that the scriptures spoke about. He was the one that they looked up to and trusted and waited for. And what Jesus was saying is, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Now manifest your faith in me. Because I am God. Come here. For you. Wow. You mean the God of the Exodus? The God who told us to put the blood on the doorposts for the Passover? The God who gave us the Paschal Lamb? You mean that God? Yes. You believe in God. Believe also in me. Wow. Amazing. You see, the devil comes to us and is very successful when we're depressed, when things are bad. Oh, I can hardly take another step. How can I put up with this? And yet Jesus is telling us, let not your heart be troubled. God has good things for us. God has wonderful things for us. You see, the object of Jesus' departure was exactly opposite what the disciples feared. They feared that if Jesus left, they would be left orphans. But he said, I will come to you. Yes, I'm there for you. Lo, I am with you always. Always. Let me tell you the problem here. We're not so very different from a group of 11 guys a couple thousand years ago. We're not all that different. You see, we have our own chapter 13 that we worry about. We have our own issues that we stress about. Turn with me to our chapter 13. It's Revelation 13. Revelation 13. Revelation 13. Revelation 13. Take a look at verse 1 of Revelation 13. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. And we worry about these things. We wonder about them. We make up stuff about them. Will this be the one? When the white smoke goes up, will this be the one? And we worry. We worry. Verse 7. It was granted to him to make war with the saints. Oh, man. This doesn't sound like good news. And, to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. This does not sound like something I want to go through. Right? We're not interested. Verse 11, then I saw another beast. Oh, good, one wasn't enough. We got to have two. I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. And we know a little bit about this beast, huh? Verse 13, he performed great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceived those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do. Am I going to be deceived? Am I going to not know what's happening? And we worry. We worry about these things. We worry, we worry. Verse 16, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. Boy, I'm telling you what, I'm staying away from computer chips. We say this stuff, you know? We worry. We worry about stuff, you know? And then, of course, verse 17, and that no one may buy or sell. And so we make sure we have our little stockpile. So when that time comes, I'll have plenty of potatoes to eat. Or I'm not going to tell anybody where my hideout in the mountains are. Are you kidding me? We worry about these things, though. We worry. And I'm not making light of the difficulties that are going to come. They're going to come. Jesus knew that difficulties were coming on those first 11. Jesus knew he himself was going to have difficulties. This is not minimizing the difficulties in the least. But we have our own verse 4 or chapter 14 too. We have our own chapter 14 too. Let's take a look at it. Chapter 14, verse 1. Then I looked and behold a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his father's name written on their forehead. Brothers and sisters, we're going to not get worried about whether that's literal or figurative. We're not going there. It's, do you have your father's name written on your forehead? That's the key. That's what it's about. Are you in love with God? That's what's really important here. Do you love Jesus? That's what he's saying. His father's name written on their foreheads. And even when Christ stands up and says, he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be. And we have to live in the sight of God without a mediator. Oh, no. Do you have your father's name written on your forehead? Do you love Jesus? That's the assurance that we need. Let not your heart be troubled today any more than the disciples did. we need to trust God today too. They were about to go through some difficult times. God's last day people are about to go through some difficult times. But it is depending on our relationship to Jesus Christ. This service that we are doing today is intended to trumpet that relationship that we have with Jesus, that we live with Him, that our lives are bound up with Him. Every time we eat of these emblems, we are saying, I believe in Jesus. I take Him as my Savior. I proclaim His death until He comes. That's right. Until He comes. We are proclaiming every time we eat this that we believe Jesus is coming again. Danny Kay, don't stand a chance. My mama was there. All of the beasts, the false prophets, don't stand a chance because our Lord is there. God is with us. And so we need to just be sure that His name is written on our foreheads. And we begin to do that by kneeling and serving one another.